Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. I'm Chris Michael. Very special show lined up for you with a lot of college football talk on tonight's program. I'm joined, as always, by the co-host of the program and senior sports writer of The Morning Call, Mr. Keith Kroller. Keith, you're doing well?
Great to be with you again.
And we have a very special guest on the phone line, so let's bring in Matt Millen from the Big Ten Network and, of course, the Lehigh Valley football great who's went on to accomplish so many great things. He's doing a great job for the Big Ten Network, and will be calling a big game this weekend. Matt, thanks so much for joining us on Sports Talk this evening.
Yeah, my pleasure. Good weekend for football.
Absolutely. It's a great weekend with a lot of big games, and we'll pick your brains about some of those games coming up in a second, but I just want to get your thoughts on the big college football story, not just in our viewing area, but really across the nation, and that is Saquon Barkley, what he's doing for Penn State, and all the people talking about what he's doing on the field, the Heisman Trophy chase, and so much more. Could you talk a little bit about the success that he's having on a national scale right now?
Well, I think the thing with Saquon that captures everybody is the kind of person that he is. Because it's easy to see when he takes time afterwards to fulfill all of his press obligations and sit down and talk with the press and even the television stuff after. He's a great kid. Mm-hmm. And it's not a show. It's not a fake. He's sincere. He means it. He says the right things. He's humble. It's, to me, that is a far better selling point, because you're going to watch the jukes. You're going to see the stuff, the electrifying moves that he has, his power when he needs to have power, his speed when he needs to have speed. But then you go, oh, and this guy's an awesome guy. Mm-hmm. That speaks volumes.
Well, what do you think about his long term? Obviously, on a short list of Heisman candidates for this year, and there's speculation that he could go into the NFL draft after this year. What do you see in terms of beyond the bowl season for Saquon Barkley?
Well, I mean, the smart move for Saquon at this point is to enter the NFL. Mm. Now, that doesn't mean he would do it. You know, Saquon's one of those kids who's kind of principled. He loves his teammates. He loves his team. You know, he likes to win. He'd want to bring home a championship if they can't accomplish that this year. And so he may surprise everybody. from my seat and from the perspective of if I were advising him, I would say in that position where injuries can happen too soon, where careers are cut short too fast, you've got to take advantage of it when you can. And so there's no way of knowing that he might be a Kurt Warner and have, you know, an MVP year his second year, and by the fifth year he's out of the league. And so you just don't know that. And so, unfortunately, in the kind of world that he's going to live in, he's got to capitalize on that as quickly as possible. And so I would say get into it, you know, get drafted, declare yourself ready for the draft, train, get ready, work for that second contract, and then you're in good shape. And so, you know, while he may have a 5-year career, he may have a 10-year career, a 12-year career, but he kind of runs a little recklessly. So, and he puts himself all out there all the time. So I would encourage him to probably leave.
Keith?
Matt, wherever he goes, he's certainly going to have a great following here from the Lehigh Valley. But of a more immediate concern is the Heisman race. Right now, USA Today coming out with their latest panel, which means nothing. But right now, he's widening his lead. Looks good. He's coming off the Michigan game. Obviously, this one's going to be huge, right? I mean, how do you like his chances at this point?
Well, right now it's fine, but they're not voting now. So here's what has to happen. Great players play great in big games. So Ohio State is a huge game for him. He passed the first test with Michigan. Mm-hmm. He got himself on the map early with Iowa when they had to have something. And then he's got to be able to throw up a big game here against Ohio State. Ohio State's the best defense he will play. It's more talented than Michigan. It's young. And so there's a lot, but now whoever's calling the game also needs to point out ways that Barkley affects defenses when he doesn't even touch the ball. I thought Herb Street tried to do that last week. He missed a bunch of stuff, like on the touchdown was a simple misdirection. It looked like it was a, I think he called it a, a wildcat. It really wasn't a wildcat. They just switched positions, and he just ran that power. But the two blocks on the left side were huge. So Will Freeze got the defensive end up the field, and Barkley's vision took him there. And then the left guard pulled, and they blocked back with the center, and he made a tremendous block. I think that was McGovern. Had a tremendous block because Mo Hurst is a reactionary guy. So when Saquon started to the right, he shifted right away to try to get into it. And that's what you do with young, you know, linebackers and players like that who are great reactionary players. You give them misdirection. And so that's on Moorhead. It was the right call. But you need somebody to take advantage of it, and Barkley could do that. And so 70 yards later, you got a score. A great play.
You know, we have a mutual friend named Jim Tack, and Jim used to run the clinic that we have out here in Fogelsville. And one year, Urban Meyer came in, and I met Urban Meyer. I wasn't overly impressed with him as a person, but as a football coach, he's one of the best in the business. He's going to come up with some great schemes, I think, to kind of neutralize Barkley. What do you think of an Urban Meyer defense now going against Joe Moorhead's offense on Saturday night?
Yeah, that'll be Greg Schiano. So that's okay. That's who we're talking about. Greg's smart. Greg knows his stuff, and Greg knows his team, and that's really the key. So being an X and O guy, that's easy. Anybody can be an X and O guy. But being an X and O guy who understands how their players play, that's a good coordinator. Greg can do that. So you can't ask a guy to do something he's not capable of doing consistently. And so Greg has a lot of talent up front. He's got a really good defensive line. He rotates those guys through. He's got a young linebacking core. That's who you could take advantage of. So to me, the play action stuff and the run action and the RPOs, that's important this week for Gesicki. I think he's a guy who can be a wild card. I think also the feet, again, of McSorley, because what they're going to preach is probably what Don Brown preached. Barkley will kill you. McSorley will get 15. Take the 15. And so that's how I would approach that game. And then somebody on the outside is going to have to beat one of those safeties because the corners are pretty solid. They are young. They will bite. But the safeties are less talented, and that's who I would attack there. Mm-hmm. With the slot receivers. And then if you're going to try to lock up Barkley on any linebacker or safety, heck, keep running that wheel route until the cows come home. There's nobody going to run with him. You're going to have to keep somebody over the top. And if you do that, then you open your middle, and then Gesicki has more spaces to run. So Ohio State is predominantly a man team, which means a single high safety, which means you're going to throw outside, or you're going to have your double slants out of trips or twins, and you're hitting the second guy in because you want to occupy the safety and then get that second guy leveraged on your outside, and it's an easy throw for McSorley. The whole key will be if he can get the ball off quickly. And if he can do that, and I'm telling you, this is a really well-coached Ohio State defensive line. What's his name's dad, the running back? He was at Penn State for years. What's his name? I see him all the time. I'm drawing a blank. But anyway, he was at Penn State. He went to Ohio State. Really good defensive line coach. You watch those guys. Their hands are excellent. They work a half a man. They know they don't get out of their lanes. They stay disciplined. Good defensive front.
Matt, another question I want to ask you about Ohio State. You mentioned the linebackers being young. They also had some passing issues early in the season. They had some drops, and the receivers were struggling. They've come on better of late. Are they becoming more comfortable with the system? Is it just their opponents and matchups? Or do you think that could be a strength that Penn State can utilize and shut down their passing attack on Saturday?
Yeah, it's a combination of things. You know, so Kevin Wilson, who I have a lot of respect for, Kevin Wilson was a guy I was interested in when I was in Detroit. He has really good passing concepts. Mm. And so he's merged them with Urban. And so a couple things have happened. And so the Urban offense and his offense are taking some time to find that Vulcan mind meld, and I think they found it. And then your players have to be comfortable with you as a coach, understanding what you're calling. Mm-hmm. And then you as a coach, and I alluded to this earlier with Greg Schiano, you have to know what your guys are capable of. That takes time. And I think right now that the time element has played its benefits. And so I think right now Kevin has a good idea of what his guys can do. They were looking for somebody to take the Samuel spot, and they found him. And I think JT Barrett is a patient guy, and I think he'll be able to, you know, he'll be effective. Penn State, though, I think is underrated defensively. I think they're kind of surprising people a little bit. The Ohio State offensive line you can get after, especially the right tackle, that Price kid, mm-hmm. you can get after him. You can get after their right guard if you isolate him. That's what they did a week ago. The left side, they have a freshman or sophomore this year, Michael, the basketball player's name, Michael Jordan. Mm. And that kid's an athletic kid, but you can beat him with power. And he's a tall kid. And the right tackle and the center are pretty solid players. So, you know, there's a recipe to win. You're just going to have to get after it. You have to stay fresh. And you have to be able to bring it all the time, because this is one of those games, much like, you know, we went up there to the Horseshoe in 79 and we shut them out. And now this is a better team now than what that was at that time. But it's doable. Mm-hmm.
Another big game this weekend, the one you're announcing, Michigan taking on Rutgers. Rutgers coming off a back-to-back win for the first time in a long time. Michigan lost an awful lot of great talent from last year. And I know they're really struggling in terms of the passing game. I think they've only completed 4 touchdown passes so far. So there's a big call in Michigan for the freshman Brandon Peters to get started, although Jim Harbaugh hasn't been playing him at all so far this year. What are your thoughts on that matchup, and do you think we might see the young freshman Peters get at least a few snaps on Saturday?
No, I don't think you'll see him.
No.
I think, Jim, I think this is a time for perspective if you're a Michigan fan. And a lot of times they don't do that. But I think what you have to remember is this. They started the season and they knew they were young. And they started the season and they didn't know exactly where they were going to be with their defense because they replaced so many people. They knew they were going to have Spate back, and then, of course, he gets hurt. Now, O'Korn's in. They still hadn't established a run game. Their offensive line, they had to replace almost entirely the whole thing. And so on the front end, you said, you know, I really don't know what we're going to be. And then they won. And they started to win convincingly. And you could still see that their offensive line was okay. And the running game had not been established except for one game. The Higdon kid had a couple hundred yards a few weeks back. But other than that, they're kind of pedestrian. And in the passing game, it's just been inconsistent for a variety of reasons. And you're not going to fix that in a week. That doesn't happen. Especially if you start to see an offense that's not getting better each week, like you're seeing from Ohio State. So you will look at Ohio State from their opening loss in Oklahoma, which, by the way, they should have won that game. There was a lot of mistakes they made. But they have continually gotten better. You did not see that with Michigan. You saw their defense starting to come together and gel, but they were young, and they make young mistakes, and they're not as disciplined as they will be a year from now. But the offense still struggled. And so I say all that to say this. Don't start dumping stuff on Jim Harbaugh saying he can't do this, he can't do that. That's a bunch of baloney. You might get what you wish for, and then you're up the creek again. Harbaugh is really good. He's quirky. He's a little goofy sometimes, but he is an excellent football coach, good, fundamentally sound guy. He'll get that team where they have to be. It may not look like you want it to look right now. Maybe they're going to lose. They may lose another game. And maybe they have 3 losses this year. And you're going to say, oh, we had 3 losses at Michigan. We stink. Come on, give me a break. And so if your 3 losses are Oklahoma, Penn State, and Ohio State, you don't want to lose to that team down south there. But, you know, sometimes that happens. So I think they're kind of overreacting a little bit right now, and I'd put the brakes on it.
Matt, I want to get your take. You're so good on the X's and O's, but guys like me, we maybe dwell too much on emotion, but football is a game of emotion. The revenge factor, obviously, a tough loss for Ohio State at Penn State. Obviously, the revenge is going to be in their side. They have the Horseshoe. They're going to be they're going to be in the, you know, at home, and also the bye week. Are those factors, when we analyze who's going to win this game, all those seem to point toward Ohio State? Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I agree. I really do, Mark. I think that, look, the bye is a big deal, and it depends how that bye is handled by your head coach. Look, as a head coach, that's where Urban is excellent. Urban knows how to handle his team. Urban knows the right things to say to his team. He knows how to motivate his team. He knows how to bring his team along. He understands when the right time to put the pressure on and when it's good to take it back. He, if you're around him and you watch him in practice, he's an honest guy when he starts assessing his players. Like, he'll talk to them honestly, like, that was not good because of this. You need to work on this. You got to be better at this. I mean, he's one of those guys. Those guys are refreshing in the coaching world. Most of the time, you don't get them. So I like that part of Urban's game. I don't think Urban's a great play caller. I think he's good. I think that's why he goes out and gets better ones. I think that the Kevin Wilson move was a great move. So you're coming off of a bye. That makes a difference. He'll have them ready. It's at home in the Shoe. You'll have 110,000 people. Anything that happened at Penn State a week ago, they're going to try to outdo. Ohio State is ultra competitive. They have great pride. It's everything you'd want in a university, just like it is up at Penn State, just like it is at, you know, at Michigan, just like there's some great universities out there. Penn State and Ohio State is just one of those places. And so it's going to be a tough place to win for Penn State. That's not an easy win. And even if they matched up across the board X and O-wise, or they have a little, something built in, Ohio State's going to do the same thing. So it's going to be very evenly matched just in terms of the talent. I actually give the talent just a little bit more to Ohio State, although it's younger. And we'll see where that goes. But for Penn State to go in there and get a win, they're going to have to play their absolute best game.
If Penn State loses, do they still have a road to the Final Four?
It would depend what happens with Georgia, and it would depend what kind of a loss it is at Ohio State. If it's a loss like what happened last year to Ohio State, where they just, you know, they got a block kick, something freaky happens at the end of a game, and it's a close game, and they win by, you know, 4 points, and you can see they're evenly matched teams, and then you'd say, yeah, they still have a shot. If they get blown out, no. No. And Barkley's got to have an awesome game just to maintain his Heisman stuff, because I'd love to see that kid win the Heisman. That would be great for him, great for university, great for this area.
Our special guest leading off the program is Matt Millen, a football analyst for the Big Ten Network. You know, the Big Ten, and I hope we're not biased here because we have several colleges in our viewing area focusing on the Big Ten. But, I mean, you watch the national people all talking about the Big Ten and Barkley and Penn State and Ohio State. And has the Big Ten become the most competitive and maybe the best college football conference in the nation right now?
I think right now it is. And I think for a couple of reasons. I think right now there's some really good coaching in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got Paul Chryst, you got Harbaugh, you got Franklin, what's going on up there, you got Urban Meyer, you got Mark D'Antonio, you got Jeff Brohm, you got, there's some guys who are really good. And you watch what they try to do. What's happening out there at Nebraska, that's a tough job. And I think Mike Riley's a good X and O guy. And I think he's a good play caller. He just needs more bullets in the gun. There's not much out there right now. That's a tough place to recruit. But, you know, there's a lot of good coaches in that league, and they're recruiting well, you know, for the most part. So it's tough. You know, like Chris Ash, I think, is a good, solid coach. He has Jerry Kill with him, who I think is an excellent builder of programs. And I think they just need some time, and they need some commitment. Ultimately, Mark, what happens here in these situations is you have to spend money. It's like an arms race. You go to these different college campuses, and you walk on, and you go, look, here's our new facility we just built. We dumped $80 million into this place. And you go, oh, that's nice. Ohio State just dropped $200 million on a renovation. I mean, it's like, it's ridiculous the amounts of money that are being spent.
Yeah.
But that's part of college football, And the Big Ten is generating that kind of revenue, and they're dispersing that kind of revenue. Unfortunately, some of the teams have to wait, like Maryland still has to wait. Rutgers still has to wait. The last guys in still have to wait. So they're just going to have to be patient, and they're going to have to recruit, and they're not going to get what Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan gets. They're going to have to do more developing. And I think they're aware of that. I think if they could keep some of those guys, they're okay. But I think it's probably the best conference out there right now.
You know, Matt, every time I see you, I always ask, you know, how you're doing and so on and so forth. And you've been through it all. Great run as a player. Great run as an analyst. You went to the Lions, had a long tenure with the Lions. Now we're back on TV. How's life for Matt Millen? How much do you enjoy going to these college venues? After being in the NFL for so long, how much do you enjoy going to places like Piscataway, like you were for the Rutgers game, or Ann Arbor, or all these venues? How much do you enjoy what you're doing right now?
You know, that's a good question. Because for years, you know, I'd been exposed to the NFL for so long. And there are some real differences between the NFL game and the college game. And so the college game is more of a schematic game. College game is more of a big picture game. The pro football game is more matchups. It's more individuals. It's how you're going to try to get my best on your worst, or how I'm going to try to take advantage of this particular spot that is not really good. And you like to run this coverage, we're going to beat it with this. And in college football, you might get four or five coverages in a game. In pro football, you might get, you know, eight coverages in the first eight plays. It's just a different game. It's a different animal. I appreciate them both. But I think what separates them, the college game has really grown on me. It's like you mentioned, like the different campuses you get onto. Like you go out to Wisconsin and their traditions. And you go to Minnesota, or you go to Ohio State, or you go to Michigan. You're up at Penn State. And I mean, the whiteout was awesome. I mean, I can't remember when I played up there. Man, people sat on their hands. Now, yeah, the decibel level was ridiculous the entire game. It was awesome. What a phenomenal venue to play in. Oh, and the Horseshoe will be the same way this week. You go down to Iowa, same stuff happens. You go, you know, wherever you go, it's just different, but it's fun. I really enjoy it.
Matt, before we let you go, I just want to get your thoughts on the way that football is evolving overall. I know at the high school level, we're having almost three-hour-long high school football games now, and it's heavily more passing, and it kind of works your way up at the college and NFL level. That's kind of evolving, too. What is your thoughts on the state of football nowadays, especially with all the safety concerns? And you obviously want to take that and the protocols and so forth seriously, but at the same time, I know a lot of old-school football guys just love, you know, the old get out there 3 yards in a cloud of dust and, you know, go after quarterbacks and so forth. And the game certainly has evolved away from that.
Yeah, well, it has. It has evolved away. The rules have evolved away. Mm-hmm. And the tendency for any guy who's played at different levels is to say our game was better because that's all they knew. Mm-hmm. So I think the advantage maybe that I've had is I've been able, you know, I was on the competition committee where we were looking at rules and why we're keeping them in, why we're eliminating some, which way the game was going. I was on that for 7 years. And so I had a view into, you know, why we're doing the things. It's not necessarily how, but why. Mm-hmm. And you have to be aware that the game is always evolving. You have to be aware that the safety issue is bigger now than ever. You have to be aware that, in rural Pennsylvania, their mothers are saying, you're not playing football because I don't want you to get hurt. And all they know is what they've heard and what they're reading, or maybe what, you know, somebody said to them. And so, you know, I think we need to do a better job of communicating. I think we need to do a better job of getting the message out of, you know, what's safe and what isn't safe. And then there's also the element of, you know, some kids just aren't going to play because they're afraid. That's okay. Don't play. It's not a big deal. There's enough guys out there, and you just have to get to them. So I think the state of the game right now, it's, you know, people are a little down on it right now. The numbers are staying away with the national anthem. This stuff will pass. it'll pass. And I think what's going to end up happening is, you know, you can take a knee if you feel so compelled, but my stance on that would be, you know, do something. Then take a knee. I can take a knee. Well, who cares? Go do something about it. Get outside, and if you want to really make a difference, make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so you called attention to it. Okay, we're all aware of it. Now go do something.
Yeah.
And so eventually, I think that'll get cleared up. That message will be brought out. I think the safety issue is always going to be there because, you know, they're always talking about the face, head, and neck area, you know, and so, you know, to an old timer like myself, you look at it, you're like, eh, man, I headbutted somebody on every play. And then you go, and my wife will say, yeah, that's why I call you CTE man. So I think you just have to be aware of what the heck is going on and stay ahead of it. And the game is the game, and the rules they write are the rules you follow. And that's what we live with. That's what we're going to have to do.
Well, Matt, we really appreciate your time. Continued success to you, and we'll be sure to check you out for the Rutgers-Michigan game on the Big Ten Network at noon this Saturday.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, see you, Marco. Matt. Always enjoy it. Take care.
Matt Millen, football analyst for the Big Ten Network, and we'll be back with more of tonight's Sports Talk in just a moment. Time for tonight's Sports Talk trivia question. It does deal with college football. So tonight's question, which you'll have a shot at guessing, how many Heisman Trophy winners have gone on to be the most valuable player of the Super Bowls? How many Heisman Trophy winners have gone on to be the MVP at the NFL level in the highest stage of the Super Bowl? Of course, callers get priority. Here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months, but if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority, but if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. And we're very honored to welcome in Penn State beat writer from The Morning Call, Mr. Mark Wogenrich, joining Keith Grohler and myself. Mark, thanks for joining us. Nice to see you.
Me.
It's been another great season for Penn State. I know last year it was a little bit of a surprise that they were doing this well. But this year, everyone going in knew it was going to be a very special season. And so far, the Nittany Lions have not disappointed. So could you talk
we've
about...
We've just been waiting for Saturday. The whole season's kind of been building...
For this weekend.
For this weekend. I kind of, in the beginning of the year, I kind of grouped the schedule into four three-part segments, really. You had your preseason, which is the non-conference schedule they got through relatively easy. You had that the beginning of that the conference schedule with Indiana, Northwestern, and Iowa. Iowa starting that group. And I thought two of those games, being on the road, they might be tough sledding games. And Iowa certainly became one of those. They needed the last-second drive, that last-minute drive to win that game. This is the meat of the schedule. Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State. Two of those games on the road really took care of Michigan. That was a surprise to me last year in winning that game 42-13. It all builds to this week. And I think this week, not necessarily a deciding game, for, I think, for the Big Ten championship and the playoff, but certainly it's going to go a long way toward it. Penn State gets through this. I think it's got a real claim at finishing 12-0 and going back to the Big Ten title game, provided it can win in Michigan State next week.
Yeah, you know, and you look at the game so far, most of them they've won handily. Some of them have jumped out to big leads. Last week they had to bye, and they started off with kind of like a wildcat look or a direct snap to Barkley, and really took advantage of that game. I imagine there's a few more tricks up James Franklin's sleeve, similar to what we saw last week. He'll pull out all the stops against Ohio State.
I would imagine that they have – it's not necessarily plays that they're going to run – they really run a base set of plays. They don't have a lot of different plays that they're going to run. They're just going to change the formations and change the way they look. The play that they ran, that direct snap to Barkley, all that really did was they just took Barkley and quarterback Trace McSorley and kind of flipped them. Mm-hmm. And that got the Michigan's linebackers to go in one direction. They pretty much just blocked a run-pass option play. Had the left tackle, Ryan Bates, made a great play and in looking like he was throwing pass protection block. He stood up, came back. That gave Barkley the lane that way, and then he cuts it back. These guys move in different directions. They can run different elements out of that. I mean, earlier in the year, they showed Saquon Barkley throwing a pass. You saw last week Saquon Barkley showing the read option with the quarterback. Now, can he give Trace McSorley the ball? Mm-hmm. Can then McSorley flip it back to him for a toss? They can do all kinds of elements within that framework. The thing that they're going to have to do against Ohio State, I think, is throw the ball. Ohio State just has a defensive line that's going to be tough again mm-hmm. for Barkley to run on. But if they can throw, especially going downfield, I think Ohio State is susceptible in the deep middle with their safeties. And some of the short passes over the linebackers over the middle, maybe they can catch Barkley in matchup situations with their linebackers. Those slant routes with Deshaun Hamilton, who had a huge game, 115 yards last week. That kind of stuff. So you don't actually need Saquon Barkley to be your one guy, as was evidenced at Northwestern, against Indiana. You don't need that. You just need him to be on his game, and you need Ohio State to be thinking he's the guy.
Yeah. Matt Millen, in that lengthy interview we did with him, which we greatly appreciated, but he said that Ohio State very, very strong.
Huge,
up front.
Defensive lines are going to be great. Yeah.
He thought that their linebackers were vulnerable, and especially they don't like to play. They like to play one-on-one, a lot of one-on-one.
They play man. Michigan did that. Ohio State's probably going to do that with their corners. They have Austin Ward, I believe is his name, a really good cornerback who is going to cover some of their outside receivers. Where Penn State can, I think they can catch them off guard, is some of their slot guys and their tight end and Mike Gesicki. In that middle of the field, Ohio State is susceptible. So they can get some deep hash routes. They can cross these guys. They can do those sorts of things. Stuff that doesn't take a lot of time, because I think McSorley is going to be under pressure. Mm-hmm. The other element is when he's scrambling, when he's running, when he's moving, he's totally at his best. I mean, Trace McSorley, I think, is an underrated player on the run and on the move and also in big game situations.
Yeah, and that's going to be big with Ohio State's defensive line, the way they've been getting after quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And I was going to ask you, between Barkley, everyone says, well, they have to establish Barkley, but with McSorley's running ability and his ability to get scramble and get out of the pocket, you would think that would buy some time for the passing game to have success.
It is, and it's not just his scrambling ability. I mean, he will run design draws. He will run that QB thing. He will tuck and go when he sees guys crashing on him. He's getting better at instinctually knowing when to see a linebacker's coming in or defensive end is coming in and reading that split second. That read option that's all pretty much dependent on the quarterback reading in an instant what to do. He's getting a lot better at that. And he can run these design plays, these draws. He can get 8, 10, 12 yards. He can catch people off guard, that sort of thing. So if he can do that and then also look downfield, when he throws the ball downfield, it's not just this like chuck and pray situation that I think a lot of people have been saying since back to last year. He doesn't do that necessarily. He's always looking for a spot to throw the ball. Doing those sorts of things, I think, will keep Ohio State's defense off guard, and it'll help them match what I think Ohio State, that offense, has been doing lately.
I want to ask you about emotion. Obviously, the emotion is so important in football.
College in particular, I think.
And we see it at the high school level, too. It's tough to sustain a high emotional level week after week. Obviously, all those factors were in Penn State's favor. They had the bye week. They had the whiteout. They had college game day. They had the revenge factor.
Now they're all in Ohio State's favor,
So, I mean, Matt Millen, we asked him during that interview again, and he said, boy, a lot of things are in Ohio State's favor. But I sense, though, believe it or not, that Penn State can handle this.
They absolutely can. I'm wondering if that doesn't crash next week. I look at that Michigan State game kind of weirdly, and I'm wondering if it all doesn't crash next week, win or lose. Mm-hmm. They go into Ohio State and play a great game and win. Now they got to get up for a third game in a row. It's in another big road game, and it gets a Michigan State team that is kind of volatile. You don't know exactly what they're going to do. You can't read them necessarily. They're built to go into this game. This is a game these guys have been circling. I don't care what they say with the week by week and the Akron, 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 that sort of thing. Michigan has been as circled probably as much, if not more, Ohio State, I think, has been circled as much, if not more, than Michigan. And they lost it by 39 to Michigan last week. They can raise that emotional stake for the second week. To me, it'll be the third week. Can they do it?
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts if they would lose this game? A lot of people think, even I think he didn't come out and make a prediction, but he kind of...
Yeah, I couldn't get Matt to make a prediction either. But, yeah.
But I kind of sense that if he was going to put a dollar or two on the game, he would go with Ohio State.
Yeah.
If they lose this game, is there a pathway to the Final Four, though, still?
Oh, absolutely. For Penn State, there is. This is an elimination game for Ohio State. If this is a game like last year that it's close, if it's 24, or even 2014 that went to overtime, there's definitely a pathway, because you figure Penn State started last year the first playoff rankings at number 12 and then climbed. They'll start if they lose and it's close and it's 27-24,
30-27.
I would think they're going to be in that 7-8 range. Yeah. There's still plenty of room. There's still even a path to get back to the Big Ten title game. It doesn't have to come down to the head-to-head with Ohio State. You would need Michigan State to beat Ohio State. Then you get into this convoluted territory of tiebreakers where... strange as it sounds, a winless Illinois team, which plays in the Big Ten West, could factor in who represents the Big Ten East. That's down the road, and again, you have to root for Michigan State to beat Ohio State, but they are not eliminated. And in my opinion, they wouldn't be eliminated at this stretch. Obviously, they got to go 11-1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's an irrelevant question, because Penn State is definitely going to win this Saturday, right?
Absolutely irrelevant, yeah, no question.
There you go. All right. All right, we're going to continue the Penn State talk and more college football talk with Mark Wolgenrich, a special in-studio guest tonight. Right now it is Keith's favorite part of the show. It's called Groller's Grumblings, where Keith sounds off and talks about anything on his sports mind. Keith?
Well, look, you see how divisive this country is, and you turn on any of those news channels and you're going to get a lot of divisiveness. But it's kind of neat around this valley right now. You have a lot of people that are happy about Penn State. You have a lot of people that are even happy about Notre Dame. And you have almost everybody, not me, but everybody happy about the Philadelphia Eagles. It's what sports does. It's what it brings us together. It brings us. It gets those sports bars hopping on a Saturday night. It did the same on Monday night when the Eagles were on. You know, that's the great beauty. That's why, if we can keep the politics out of sports, sports would really be a much better place. And you see the unity now. Like I said, Sunday, driving around this valley, a sunshiny day, and everybody was smiling. Penn State people were smiling. Notre Dame people were smiling. Yankee fans were not, by the way. I'm sorry. And,
sadly,
and neither was USC
You've
football
You've been to
fans.
An NFL game lately, though, right?
I have.
It doesn't take politics to get two people into a fight in an NFL game.
True. It takes a few of these, that a little bit bronze-colored drink there. But anyway, look, enjoy it while it lasts. Sports is it's at its best when it brings us together. And certainly some of these teams that we all care about around here are doing that right now.
All right, one quick personal note I just wanted to pass along to Joe Craig. Some of you know he was supposed to have open heart surgery this week. That was put on hold because his daughter, doing some routine tests, they found that she has a rather large-sized tumor. So Joe asked prayers. Certainly would be welcome right now for the Craig family right now. So Joe's surgery is on hold because of the concern for his daughter right now. So again, keep Joe and the Craig family in your prayers this week.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll be back with more sports talk in just a moment. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Mark Wolgenrich of The Morning Call, our special in-studio guest, joining Keith Groller and myself. Big thanks to Matt Millen, who joined us earlier. He's traveling on his way to Ann Arbor, Michigan, to announce the Rutgers-Michigan game this Saturday. And for people listening to us on our podcast, Keith is wearing one of the most unusual ties I've ever seen. It's a pumpkin tie.
Yeah.
So make sure, if you're listening to us,
it's
try
Halloween.
To catch a show on demand. It's very nice.
Say that I make every day look like Halloween with my... You know.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, I'm sure you were going in that direction.
No.
I beat you to the punch.
Actually, I was going to give you a compliment, but the heck with you now. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Karen from Allentown would like to take a shot at our trivia question. Karen, welcome to Sports Talk. Hello, Karen.
Hi.
Yeah, make sure you have your TV volume down.
Okay.
All right, you have a shot at our trivia question ready, I'm told.
The number would be 4.
All right. How many Heisman Trophy winners have gone on to the Super Bowl and be an MVP? Four is the correct answer. Do you happen to know who they are?
Who they are, Kat? I like to know who they are.
Me too.
Marcus Allen.
Wow. Didn't think about him.
Roger Staubach.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah, we said Staubach.
Desmond Howard.
Yep. And the Raider.
And Jim Plunkett, the Raider.
There you go.
Well, that was a bad one for the Eagles. I remember that one.
But you're a Rams fan. Why are you talking about the Eagles now?
No, I'm just – everybody remember Plunkett had an unbelievable game against them.
You're sucking up to Eagles fans now. All right, Karen. Who are you going to be watching this weekend? A lot of great high school football games. Ohio
Parkland.
State. Oh, big Parkland game. We'll have that live with Emmaus.
Revenge. Revenge. Remember that Emmaus beat him by this much last year. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, but Parkland returned the favor. So they both have revenge, right?
It's our trick-or-treat night, too.
At Parkland?
Oh. And Allentown, too.
And Allentown.
Yep.
Okay. Well, you know, you could still get out. I always say this. The trick-or-treating is generally 6 to 8. You can get out there for at least a good 45 minutes, get over to the stadium, and you can still see a lot of the football games. I don't like when people tell me they can't go to the game because they got to go trick-or-treating. So.
And then go home and watch the game on video on demand afterwards.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, Karen. Thanks so much for giving us a call this evening.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks, Karen. You know, one of the things I want to ask you about Penn State, and James Franklin talked about this in his presser this past week, and the coaches say this, but he was talking about the culture change. And I think for Penn State, for many reasons, it's important to establish the culture and have the right mindset and the right culture and have really professional people, not just great football players. And he seems sincere about that. Could you talk about how the dynamics have changed at Penn State over the last few years, especially with James Franklin taking over?
I don't know necessarily that if you're going to put like an institutional culture change, removing the scandal, the Sandusky scandal, from that element from it. Institutionally, I don't know that there was. They made a lot of changes, like academically, professionally, and institutionally in that sense, of procedural things that they've done, to address those issues. But for him, it was more about updating. It was more about modernizing the football program. I mean, you look at the football program now, and you hear people say, like, you know, Penn State is back. And I would argue that Penn State's actually better than it was in the last 10 years of Joe Paterno's career. Not that there were up years, obviously, 2005, 2008, and even the year, his final year, they were 8-1 going into when he was fired in 2011. But there really was not a sustained national championship drive team in that era. 2005, they kind of came on late. And did have an opportunity, but for the ones that last second loss in Michigan. And that was 2005. And 2008 lost to USC in the Rose Bowl. And it really was not as good a team at all to USC. This now, he's changed that aspect of it, that they recruit to a level that at the end of the last decade of Joe Paterno's career, Penn State did not see. You had Joe Paterno and an offensive coordinator at the time who did not go on the road to recruit. That is unfathomable in college football these days. James Franklin will be on the road recruiting Friday nights before games. And, you know, we saw it here when he and Sean Spencer, one of his assistants, took a helicopter to watch Saquon Barkley play against Nazareth in 2014. That it's just he's changed that element completely. There are seven full-time people involved in recruiting at Penn State. That just was not the case. The idea of analytics, of using technology, of social media, the whole thing, the marketing of the program, it all comes from different places now. The modernization of the football building. There was a time when what is now James Franklin's office was Joe Paterno's office, did not have internet access just about 7 years ago. Yeah. All of that, all of those things had to change. And that's what I think. I mean, when he's talking about culture, it's not necessarily about the kinds of players they're recruiting and the kinds of program they want to operate with academic and off-field success and fewer issues. That's the kind of the benchmark and the bulwark, and that is not changing. But upgrading it to bring it into 2017 and really bringing it into the 21st century too is, I think, the most important part of what he's changing.
How about the fans, though? I always go back to the fans, and they were, look, they took it on the chin. This was a group
that believed that they were better than everybody else, by and large. That, you know, the scandals happen at Oklahoma. They happen at USC. They would happen at Miami. Mm-hmm. They would happen at Alabama. They would never happen in State College, PA. Mm-hmm. Then they get hit with the worst scandal in college sports history, perhaps. And now they took it on the chin. We lost the statue. We lost all those wins. And then really kind of a national debate about even at one point some people
should it thought, exist,
yeah.
right? Should the program exist?
Now they're
at
coming
all?
Back strong. I got to say it about him. I'm maybe the biggest fan. He's a charismatic guy that brings a lot of people to the table. You know,
I don't want to cut Mark off, so let's go to our break. Get that in now so we can have Mark's response coming up.
Okay, but your thoughts about people coming back really strong. I think the fan base now more passionate than they've ever been.
I mean, yeah, I think there's a sense in that case, there's a sense of fighting back and maybe of holding a grudge about what happened and the way Penn State was portrayed. And now that they're playing, now they're winning football games again, they could puff the chest. I get where you're coming from, but I think there's still a bit of a chip on the shoulder about how that all happened.
Maybe that's what I'm getting into. Okay.
All right, we'll continue that when we get back. Time for our final break of the evening. And the 9-0 Palisades football team has a lot of confidence heading into their regular season finale on Friday night. Sports Talk videographer Mike Kingsley went to Kittnersville to talk about the Colonial League and District 11 Class 3A's top team.
Last year, being a pretty young team with one senior, we knew we had a lot of work to put in, and we did the work, and we had a pretty good season last year, having a lot of success. And we learned that no matter the grade level, if you put hard work in, you're going to be able to get something out of it.
So last year, we just learned a lot from some of our mistakes, and over the off season, we just fixed all of it, and we brought it into this year, and as you can see, it really paid off. Some games, the defense has really been scoring. Other games, the offense has just been dominating. It's just a mixture of all. There's three sides to playing the football. That's special teams, offense, and defense, and everyone's pulled through and scoring points.
Our success has been awesome. It's actually something that we expect. You know, we come out and we expect you to dominate this season, so we've been doing that so far. And for the next couple of weeks, obviously, we're going to be scouting teams that we're going to be playing in the playoffs.
It's a really big feeling to already clinch a spot in the playoffs. And it feels good. It was one of our biggest things going into offseason is working to get into the playoffs. And now that we're here, I'm excited to see what we can do.
My individual highlight most likely would have been maybe the Sutton Lehigh game coming out first run and getting a good amount of yards on it, bringing us down to near the 5-yard line, I think it was. And I mean, that was probably our biggest game so far. So that was probably my biggest individual highlight. And then team highlight, honestly, overall, it's probably just been where we are now.
We're getting to the toughest weeks of our season coming up. Playoffs are coming up. And I'm expecting everybody to perform to the best ability.
I expect us to go 10-0. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Final segment of RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. Mark Wilgenrich, our special in-studio guest. Make sure you check out tomorrow's Morning Call because Mark is going to have a great article on Saquon Barkley. And Mark, maybe you can talk a little bit about that and also get your thoughts on Penn State's upcoming schedule over the next couple of weeks.
You guys had Matt Millen. I talked to him earlier this week, too, and we got into talking about Saquon Barkley. And Matt's just got a long-standing love affair with Saquon, going back to when his brother was coaching at Whitehall, Andy. And Andy used to tell him, we got this running back here at Whitehall. You really got to see him.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got into talking about running backs that Matt has seen, played against, saw as a general manager. And he was telling me, I think this kid is the best running back I've seen since Barry Sanders.
Wow.
And he compared him to Marshall Faulk as a receiver. And I just, really, really? I mean, that's a lot of load for a 20-year-old college junior. He said, no, I mean, I've got to temper expectation. But, I mean, he went on and on about just how good Saquon Barkley can be, not just now, but in the NFL.
Yeah, and your thoughts on the upcoming schedule? Keith said about what happens if they lose to Ohio State. Is there any other pitfalls down the road?
I think Michigan State to me is a pitfall, just because we don't really know a ton about Michigan State at this point. 4-1, having lost only to Notre Dame outside the conference, but they're unbeaten in the Big Ten. And right now they're in a three-way tie. Those three teams. So that's going to Michigan State again. Like I said, after coming off the high of beating Ohio State, maybe they crash and go in there and struggle. It happened to that 1999 team. It happened to the 2005 team that came off big wins and crashed. It happened to the 2008 team in Penn State. Or they go in, lose, and maybe you see how they respond and not going and going to Michigan State to play. The last, you know, you get through that, even at 2-1. I think you get through this stretch 2-1. The back third of this schedule is Rutgers, Nebraska, Maryland, and none of those three teams are really playing at a level that Penn State is. So 11-1, I still see them in contention if they don't win. I think they can afford to lose to Ohio State, probably not Michigan State, but I think they can afford to lose to Ohio State. Yeah. And, well, and losing to Michigan State and beating Ohio State probably still gets them in the title game anyway.
So. I tell you what, the TV people would love to see Notre Dame, Alabama, Penn State. It doesn't
Georgia?
Really matter.
Yeah.
Or Georgia.
Yeah.
Are you talking about unbelievable, that would probably trump the
yeah,
NFL
that's
the NFL
Yankees Raiders. Dodgers right there.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a fantastic Final Four. Yeah. And this year, they make more sense now that they have it on New Year's Day, I believe, right?
Yep.
Than on New Year's Eve.
The semifinals, Matt, you made that doubleheader on New Year's Day?
That would be great.
All right, Mark, so thanks so much for your time. Continued success covering
you.
Penn State, and we'll look for that article in tomorrow's Morning Call.
Yep, definitely.
All right, make sure you check out Ohio State, Penn State, Mark's article, along with Keith's articles from this weekend with high school and with Lehigh coming up this weekend on Saturday. That'll be it for tonight's show. We'll be back next week with another live edition of Sports Talk, previewing that weekend's high school football playoff games. For Keith, I'm Chris. Good night, everyone.